Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 19 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's program, we're going to cover the basic science of one of the most important types of raw material used in cosmetics, surfactants. Surfactants are probably the most important types of ingredients you use when formulating cosmetic products. You'll find them in cosmetics ranging from body washes to skin lotions to eyeshadows to toothpaste. Almost every cosmetic you use contains at least one surfactant. Surfactants have been used by people since the invention of soap back in 2800 BCE, but it wasn't until the late 19th century when sulfonated castor oil was used in the textile industry as a dyeing aid that synthetic surfactants were invented. In the 1920s and 30s, surfactants from long-chain alcohols were created, and in the 1950s and 60s, nearly all of the synthetic surfactants that are used today were introduced. Some commonly used surfactants include sodium lauryl sulfate, cocametal-propyl betaine, and glycerol stearate. The term surfactant stands for surface active agent. This refers to the fact that in solutions, surfactant molecules migrate to the surface and align themselves in a manner which reduces surface tension. The reason surfactants behave in this manner is because of the way their molecule is structured. A portion of the molecule is hydrophilic, which means it's water-loving, while another portion is hydrophobic, which means it's water-hating. You might also hear them referred to as lipophilic, which is oil-loving, or lipophobic, which is oil-hating. When a surfactant is mixed with water, the hydrophobic parts of the molecule align themselves as far away from the water as they can. Simultaneously, the hydrophilic portions of the molecule continues to be attracted to the water. This leads to a variety of different molecular arrangements, such as monomers, spherical micelles, tubules, rods, lamellar sheets, and bilayers. The exact structure that the surfactant molecules take depends on the type and concentration of surfactant in the solution and the nature of the other materials in the solution. Normally, when oil and water are put together, they do not mix nicely, but instead they stay separated. You can see this in salad dressings, which frequently have two layers. This is because polar materials, like water, are more compatible with other polar materials, while nonpolar materials, such as oils, are more compatible with nonpolar materials. This observation is the basis for the general adage in chemistry that like dissolves like. The unique surface properties of surfactants mean that they can be compatible with both the oil phase and the water phase in a solution. This leads to a number of useful applications in cosmetics. The first use of surfactants in personal care products we'll be talking about is cleaning. Surfactants are useful whenever you want to make a product that will clean a surface. While water will remove all of the water-compatible ingredients, it won't have much impact on removing the oily materials, and most dirt is made up of oil. So for the nonpolar parts of dirt and oil, you need a surfactant to help remove it. When a surfactant is applied to a surface, the lipophilic parts of the molecule insert themselves between the oily particles and the surface of the skin or hair. A number of surfactant molecules surround the particle, and then water can be used to rinse away, which leaves a clean surface. These cleansing surfactants are called detergents and are found in products like shampoos, body washes, and liquid soaps. The most common for cleaning products are anionic surfactants like sodium lauryl sulfate or ammonium laureth sulfate. Incidentally, surfactants have the added bonus of making foam. This is a visual cue for consumers that helps convince them of the product's efficacy. As a formulator, you need to be able to produce foam that looks and feels great. Cleansing is only one of the functions of personal care products. Another is making the skin and hair look and feel good. To do this, we often require material that are both polar and nonpolar. Since the materials that are useful for cosmetics can be incompatible, we use surfactants to create a mixture that has both. These mixtures of incompatible materials held together by surfactants are called emulsions. When surfactants are blended into these mixtures, they align themselves in the solution to create small particles called micelles. Upon mixing, the particles are dispersed throughout the solution, creating an emulsion. And emulsions are the basis for nearly all creams and lotions. Another use for surfactants is as conditioning or moisturizing ingredients. Some surfactants can attach to the surface of skin and hair to improve the look and feel, so they are frequently added to moisturizing and conditioning cosmetics. Hair conditioners and skin moisturizers usually contain one or more surfactants that have a functional effect. Surfactants are also added to formulas to modify the formula aesthetics. Typically, people who use cosmetics want them to be thick or opaque and easy to spread. For cosmetic formulators to create these effects, surfactants such as fatty alcohols can be used. Surfactants can also be added to modify the opacity of a liquid formula in the form of pearling agents. Surfactants can also thicken formulas. Finally, some surfactants have one more characteristic that makes them useful in cosmetic products. They can disrupt the structure of cell walls, which means that they are able to destroy any disease-causing microbes that might grow in cosmetics. So this property makes them useful as preservatives. As you can see, surfactants have a wide range of application in cosmetic formulas. The technology has not really changed much since the late 1960s, but cosmetic raw material manufacturers continue to try to improve. In the future, surfactants promise to be less irritating, more efficient, and produced from more sustainable starting materials. In fact, the sustainable raw materials is probably the focus of most of the research in improving cosmetic surfactants. Now that you know why surfactants are used, it is helpful to know which ones are used for the purpose. There are literally thousands of different types of surfactants, and it can be difficult to know which to use for any specific application. This task is made easier by knowing how surfactants are classified. Surfactants are grouped by the charge characteristics of their polar or hydrophilic head groups. The four groups include anionic, cationic, amphoteric, and non-ionic. We'll discuss each of these next. Anionic surfactants are those that have a negative charge on their polar head group. They include groups like carboxylic acid, sulfates, sulfonic acids, and phosphoric acid derivatives, of which the first three are most important in cosmetics. They are most useful for applications that require good cleansing and foam. Carboxylic acid anionic surfactants like stearic acid are useful creating stick products like deodorants and antiperspirants. The salt version, sodium stearate, makes an excellent soap. Sulfates are the next most commonly used anionics. They include synthetic detergents like sodium lauryl sulfate, ammonium lauryl sulfate, or their ethoxylated companions, sodium laureth sulfate, SLES. They are excellent foamers, cleansers, and relatively inexpensive. The drawback is that they can be irritating, and some consumers find that troubling. In fact, sulfates are some of the most highly vilified cosmetic raw materials, but we'll save that discussion for another time. Sulfonic acid surfactants are generally more mild than sulfates. These include taurates, which are derived from taurine, isoethionates, which are derived from isoethionic acid, olefin sulfonates, and sulfosuccinates. The reason they are not used more often is that they are more expensive to produce and they do not provide a significant enough benefit over sulfates. They also don't foam as well and sometimes don't clean as well. Cationic surfactants are those that have a positive charge on their polar head groups. They are most useful for conditioning cosmetics. They include chemical classes such as amines, alkylamidazolamines, alkoxylated amines, and quaternized ammonium compounds, also known as quats. By far, the most significant cationic surfactants used in cosmetics are quats. These are nitrogen-containing compounds that acquire a positive charge when dispersed in solution. This positive charge makes them electrostatically attractive to the negative damage sites on the hair and skin protein, which makes them resist rinse-off. Quats, like citrammonium chloride or sterylconium chloride, provide the basis for numerous hair conditioners. The biggest challenge of working with cations is that they are not typically compatible with anionic surfactants. This means it is difficult to produce products that simultaneously clean and condition using only surfactants. Cationic surfactants can also be irritating, so this must be considered when formulating cosmetics with them. Some surfactants have the potential to have both positive and negative charges depending on the environment that they're placed. This characteristic is termed zwitterionic, and surfactants of this type are called amphoterics. Examples include sodium lauroamidopropionate and disodium lauroamphodiacetate. Amphoterics are primarily used in cosmetics as secondary surfactants. They can boost foam, improve conditioning, and even reduce irritation. They are also used for baby shampoos and other cleansing products that require mildness. The drawbacks are that they do not have good cleansing properties by themselves, and they also don't function very well as emulsifiers. The last class of surfactant we'll cover are the ones that contain no specific charge. These are termed non-ionic surfactants and are used most often as emulsifiers, conditioning ingredients, and solubilizing agents. There is no other type of surfactant that is used more frequently than non-ionic surfactants. The primarily non-ionics used for cosmetics include alcohols, alkanolamides, esters, and amine oxides. Alcohols such as cetyl or sterile alcohol are used in creams and lotions to provide body and feel to the formulas. They also help stabilize the emulsions and can reduce irritation. Amine oxides like cocamidopropylamine oxide are used to boost foam in characteristics in cleansing products. A number of esters are used to provide conditioning, slip, and shine to biological surfaces. Polysorbate esters are also excellent solubilizing ingredients for fragrances and other botanical oils. Most of your formulating time will be spent working with different levels of surfactants and trying to pick out just the right one for your application. This brief overview provides all the basics you need to know to get started and to impress your marketing people with your knowledge. But it is only the start. You need to work with surfactants, talk with your surfactant suppliers, experiment with different blends. Only then will you get a better understanding of these molecules and what you can do with them. Today's challenge. For today's challenge, I want you to try a classic experiment to demonstrate the effect of a surfactant in water. It's the old pepper water soap experiment. To do this experiment, you need to get some black pepper, a dish of water, a toothpick, and a body wash, shampoo, or bar soap. Sprinkle the pepper on the surface of the water. Put enough of a layer so that you can see the little particles laying on the top of the surface. The pepper flakes should not sink, and this is because they are hydrophobic, so they'll stay on the top of the layer of the water. Next, dip the toothpick in the body wash or the shampoo and coat a small segment of one end. You don't want too much on the toothpick. Then poke the toothpick into the center of the layer of the pepper and see what happens. If you did it right, the pepper should have moved to the sides of the bowl and looked as if it was repelled by the toothpick. You could actually do the same experiment using your finger in place of the toothpick. But doing the experiment is not the only part of today's challenge. It's the fun part, but it's not the only thing I want you to do. The real challenge is to see if you can figure out a way to explain what's going on. Answer a few questions. For example, why does the pepper stay on the surface of the water at the start? And why does it move away when you expose it to the surfactant? First, explain it in a way that makes sense to you. Then see if you can come up with a way to explain it to, say, a 10-year-old. When you've got that, go to the show notes for today's program and leave your explanation for what's going on. Also, if you have other experiments that can demonstrate how surfactants work, please leave those in the show notes comments too. I'm always looking for real-life experiments to demonstrate scientific concepts like these. Well, that's today's program. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about ingredient lists and how you can use them to figure out a formulation. If you found this series helpful, please go to the comments section and leave a comment in the show notes. Also, be sure to share it with any friends or colleagues who you think might be interested. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you happen to use. Also, if you could leave me an iTunes review, that would be really excellent. This is going to help others find the show. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist's Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage you to go to and sign up and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. It's free to join. That's at chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.